In a sense, they are not built as they are grown. Let me give an example. Being curious about things of science and construction by nature, I was given an understanding of how the mansions were constructed. The task of building mansions is always given to angels and spirits of the higher sphere for those of the lower sphere. A group of them would gather together under the leadership of a spirit of the highest sphere at the place where the mansion is to be built. They would receive the impartation and energizing life from God and using their will and thoughts project it towards the place where the mansion is to be created. At first the foundation would be laid, then the walls, and towards the end the leader would complete the roof and the finishing touches. The spiritual substance would, in a mysterious way, somehow also be taken from the spiritual emanations from the future dweller of the mansion and also from all those involved in its construction, or more accurately growing. The completed mansion takes the color, character and uniqueness of all those involved in its creation. It is the law of the spiritual world that all that one creates or does flows forth with the character and impartation of the creator or doer. As each angel and spirit is unique, there are no two mansions that are alike. Each has its own unique flavor and light. God could just speak or think and everything would just be created in the heavens, but it is the joy and pleasure of the Father God that His angels and redeemed spirits take part in this delegated work. Not all spirits are involved in this area, only those that have an interest in architecture and creation of buildings. Other redeemed spirits may be involved in music or worship. The tasks are quite intricately divided, with some specializing in heavenly furniture, others in gardens, plants and trees, light to the planet Earth. There are those angels and spirits who take part under the command of the Lord Jesus, who become bearers of light towards the Earth. This is done through a coordinated effort in which, as a group, they become channels and enhancers of the light of Christ into the dark spheres by descending in a multi-sphere formation towards the darkness that surrounds the earth. The light of Jesus flows into them in a similar way in which light flows through an optic fiber cable and is enhanced at regular points onwards towards its destination. When this takes place, it causes spiritual pressure upon the dark forces surrounding the earth as it is compressed downwards. Due to this compressed spiritual pressure, the darkness breaks upon the earth, and at first, great evil seems to be released upon the earth that affects mankind and causes great suffering in wars, catastrophes, etc. Although darkness seems to reign on the earth, it is only temporary. The angels and spirits involved feel the suffering of mankind and have great love for humanity, but they know that this is a necessary phase. Eventually, due to this spiritual pressure of light upon the darkness of the earth, openings occur in the darkness surrounding the earth, and the light breaks through to shine steadfastly upon humans living on the earth. This light leads mankind towards spirituality and brings man Godward towards Christ. These events in the spiritual realm take place regularly, and each event can be, in human terms, over several centuries, with the ripples being felt over scores of years like waves of change in the human field of science, politics, religion, economics, etc. Note the wave of great evil and suffering that occurred before the Exodus and before Jesus' incarnation. Exodus 1:8-16, Matthew 2:16-18. The revelation of God. Even in the heavens, all the creation of God from the lowest spheres to the highest spheres are seeking to know God and to love Him. Every sphere has schools, universities and places of God's manifestation, each learning and seeking to understand our awesome God. As true knowledge of God is acquired, a glory transformation occurs to those who understand that particular level of knowledge. In billions of earth years, the highest spheres that have pre-existed planet Earth are still coming to the knowledge of God. There is so much to know of God that all the languages of humans are incapable of expressing who He really is. Even the word God is insufficient to express who He is. He is truly omnipresent, omnipotent and omniscient, but when we use the word person to refer to God, it is an incomplete description, because God is beyond time, beyond space, beyond energy and beyond person. He is the source, the creator and the sustainer of all life. All of our being and existence are in Him. He is the supreme being, our Father God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the Supreme Being, our Father God, in time, space and energy in person simultaneously to all his creations, all of the spiritual universe, so that all his creations can relate to God. Our Lord Jesus Christ and the Supreme Being our Father God are one. The Holy Spirit is the manifestation of the Supreme Being our Father God, who fills, sustains, and is all time, all space and all energy. The Holy Spirit and the Supreme Being our Father God are one. Thus our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are one. We can understand why for eternities, we will be learning and growing in knowing God. Chains of blessings. There is an interesting phenomenon in the spiritual world whereby angels and spirits in the highest spheres closest to God receive the life and light of God and pass it downwards through each sphere. There are no human words to describe it. It is like a refraction of light and life through the beings in the highest spheres downwards. But this life energy that goes through each of these beings is somehow enhanced and changed according to the characteristics of each being. Thus, although it is the same light and energy, it now has an added flavor as it is transmitted to the spirits in the next sphere. This work and activity is very specific, and each partaking of the life, love and light of God is exactly for the one receiving it and is passed on specifically to the spirits of which they are in charge. This flows down the line, without getting weaker, through all the spheres until it reaches the Earth sphere and downwards towards the planet Earth. Some of these are commands and expressions of God's will which are communicated in ways which each sphere can receive and understand. Thus the need to pass on through the various spirits or angels in charge, as the higher sphere is always invisible to those lower. They can also be gifts and strengthenings that are imparted to enhance and increase the transformation towards the glory of God. As each sphere is still growing and has its limitation of glory and understanding, it relies on those in the higher sphere to communicate and clarify the outflows of God's life, love and light from his throne. The last one in this chain of blessing is usually the human on planet Earth who receives it from his guardian angels and ministering spirits. Perhaps this was the phenomenon observed when our Lord Jesus was speaking to the angels of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. This does not mean that God could not have manifested himself through Christ directly to an individual. He does so from time to time. This activity is just one of the multiple processes of delightful work in heaven which God allows his creation to partake in. Transition places. Although there are many spheres in the spiritual world, there are particular spheres which seem to be an important demarcation realm. For example, the nearest heavenly spheres to the earth are those which have a semblance of earth life, language, buildings, styles, etc. But as one ascends into the higher glory, there is a place where earth-like styles are almost nil, and when one crosses over that particular sphere or place, it is like entering another grouping of glory spheres. At this place there are usually special buildings that monitor all the groups of spheres below it and also function as transition points for all those of the spheres above. These transition points are very important as they have a dual function. A training ground for those who are ready to grow higher to the next grouping of spheres, and a transmission station for those from higher spheres who, because of the greatness of their sublime nature and glory, use these stations to send blessings, communications and inspirations to specific individuals in the lower spheres. One could ask why the spirits in the higher spheres do not come down directly if they want to impart to those lower. These are just one of the many activities of heaven instead of direct visitations. Also, these places are used by those of higher spheres to adjust their glory to the lower realms before they proceed lower. There are many more universities and facilities in these transition places than in other spheres. These special places provide facilities for even spirits and angels of the highest spheres, whose glory is so bright that it might normally distress those of lower spheres, to interact with those there. There are also facilities for those of the lowest spheres to be able to be protected by enhancing from these facilities to interact with those from the highest spheres. The Lord Jesus, accompanied by a host of beings of the highest spheres, also manifests in various high states of glory which he otherwise could not in other spheres. Ministry to humans on the earth. Many humans think that when we graduate with a degree or doctorate or skill that we have achieved something. Or when we come into a position of power or are given great wealth that it is a great achievement. From the spiritual world viewpoint, these are not achievements, rather they are just like a driver's license that give us a greater potential to be of service to all of humanity. There are many ministering angels involved in creating these opportunities for us. Sadly, when a human receives these greater opportunities, they think that it is their own achievement of honor, and they start squandering their opportunity in selfishness and licentiousness. Many of these ministering angels work in teams creating open doors that lead from one level to another until we are qualified with an opportunity or position to be a blessing to all humanity. Different ministering angels work with us at different times of our age, from babyhood, childhood, teenage to adulthood. Also, angels specializing in different wisdoms and skills create specific opportunities and open doors for us to receive promotions or favor. Psalm 75:6, Daniel 2:21. When the human involved remains humble and retains a pure heart to serve, some of the highest angels with great power unite themselves with the spirit of the human and are able to achieve great things that cause good and righteous waves to flow and affect the whole planet. Ministry to the lowest spheres of the intermediate realm. There are many and varied schools established in the lowest intermediate spheres. These minister to those spirits that are earthbound and remain dazed in the realms between the earth's crust and the intermediate realm. These schools range from new mission outreaches to highly developed cities, especially if they have been established over the many centuries of Earth's history. For those that are established longer, thousands of Earth years, they are like countries. Each of these schools, or countries, is as different as the many countries of the earth directly below them. There are many similarities and styles of culture of each city and country to the earthly country below them. This is not done because of the need to retain any ethnic or style of culture in the spiritual realm. Rather, they serve to address the weaker spirits' comfort as they are still growing out from their old earthly ways. In the spirit world, they are also given different names according to the spiritual leaders in charge of these schools. Some of them are like hospitals and clinics that help and strengthen the weak spirits that are arriving without much preparation for the spiritual world. Of course, they do not use the earthly instruments or tools, but rather they use spiritual impartations and teaching to strengthen these weak spirits. It is in these realms where the spirits are so weak that there are even transportation systems within these cities and countries. Of course, they are powered by spiritual means. All the manifestations in these places are merely for the weak and earthbound spirits who still think and act as if they have physical bodies. Higher spirits have no need of such manifestations. The design of these realms is very much earth-like without the limitations of earthly physical laws. As in every place, there are places of prayer to seek God's help, gardens, buildings, etc., but of a much lesser glory. Many spirits of the higher realms come to these places, especially when they need to aid their loved ones who are still trapped in the earthbound area. These spheres are like mission fields to higher spirits, and new mission fields are constantly being formed to bring more spiritual light to these realms. Most of the humans who live in the physical earth visit these realms in their dreams, in their spirits, for spiritual correction and spiritual retuning, especially when their lives are getting more drawn into the things of the physical world. If they pay heed to their spiritual dreams, their spirits and souls would be able to remain free from the gravitational pull of the flesh and thus remember and fulfill their original mission and task on earth. Job 33:14-18. There are also many scientific schools in these realms which specialize in bringing forth the inventions of the spiritual realm into the physical realm. A number of these spiritual to physical knowledge transfers take place from these realms in the dream life of the humans of Earth. Other transfers take place through the subconscious minds of those more spiritually minded. except for the higher spirits who serve in these realms. Spirits who are still growing in these realms do not see nor hear those of the higher realm. Love the sustenance of all life. In these lowest of intermediate realms, spirits sustain themselves by the fruits or grains that are grown in the fields. They are still in the process of learning that spirits can live and be sustained by God's love alone. The spiritual food imparts spiritual energy into them. Through time they understand that the energy provided by God's love that shines through all His creations is the life force that sustains all life. Even when on the physical earth we have an allegory. Plants and trees receive their life from the sun. Then the animals eat the plants and humans in turn eat both plants and animals. Indirectly it is all through the physical light of the sun. In a similar way, the souls of all humans are sustained by love. When we receive or experience love, strength enters into our spirits and souls which keep us going. Ultimately, it is the love of God in Christ that sustains all of us, but some humans cannot relate directly to the invisible Christ and depend on the love of other humans, who have tapped directly or indirectly upon true self-sacrificing love. Every time we impart love, we are imparting life to those receiving our love. This is the lesson that if not learned here on the physical plane, will have to be learned in the lowest intermediate realm. Spirits, who have not learned to receive and to give this true love, find that they need to eat spiritual food to sustain themselves. In the highest spheres, the fruits of the glorious trees are eaten not out of necessity for sustenance but for spiritual pleasure and impartations. Men shall not live by bread alone but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. God is love and every word that He speaks and all of His words are summed up in His love for us. We live by God's love to us directly and God's love to us indirectly through others. In Him is life and His life is the light to all men. John 1:3-4. Examples of some ministry work in the lowest realms. In some of these lowest intermediate realm hospitals there are many who have lived their lives without preparation for the spiritual world. Many of them are prominent business people, professionals and leaders who gave no thought to the afterlife. Those who thought that they would cease to exist after physical death remain in a nightmarish stupor barely holding on to the smallest of spiritual life that is still in them. They are placed in wards with beds and are daily ministered to by the spirits who serve here. The serving spirits would place their hands on them or wave their hand over them, imparting spiritual strength and nourishment. These spirits who have been so careful to provide themselves with physical comfort and luxuries have not taken time during their lives to provide for themselves spiritually. They lie groaning and moaning, temporal physical millionaires but spiritual paupers for all eternity. Others lie in a comatose state refusing to believe that they still live on in the spirit realm. All of them have their minds, emotions and thought patterns poisoned by their lifetime of worldliness and fleshly ways. Their spiritual bodies look diseased and malnourished. If only they had used their great wealth, power and resources for spiritual good both for themselves and for others around them. Others are so tied to their earthly habits of thinking and have earthly emotions linked to physical people or things on the earth that they are like mentally deranged people in a mental ward. They struggle with the illusions and passions of physical life created by their own thought and emotional life. Foul smells and disharmonious atmospheres fill these wards. The role of the ministering spirits here is to help remove these disharmonies from the atmosphere emitted by these sick spirits, by their thought emanations, through prayer and love. These spirits are so contorted that they are not even capable of hearing heavenly music that would soothe and heal their souls. They have to be taught the most basic of spiritual things like small infants. When they are recovered, many of these would in turn serve others. Spirits who live in these realms do not have the spiritual capacities to communicate via thought and rely on spiritual devices, inventions of the spiritual realm, to communicate. Many of the physical earthly inventions came from devices invented in these realms because these realms do have their limitations similar to the limitations of the physical bodies on earth, although not as gross as the physical world. Many of the spirits here still look old and aged, but these bodily forms are merely versions of the uglier forms of the dark spheres. They are sufficiently redeemed to be present in these realms, but not sufficiently spiritually developed to take on the youthful heavenly forms of the higher spheres. As they grow and develop and ascend to the higher spheres, they will lose these earthly looking aged forms and take on the true spiritual forms. 3. The free will of man. Almost all of the things that happen to a human life are through their own free will, no matter how many external causes or currents are taking place in the environment into which they are born. It is not necessarily caused by free will action, but can also be caused by free will of thought. Not just in the sense of a fleeting thought which impinges upon a mind, but rather a thought that is accepted and becomes part of the soul life and thought pattern of the individual life. Predestination and free will. All actions have a cause and effect, a sowing and reaping for its doer, besides affecting the lives of those around them. All thoughts that are accepted into one's thought pattern and character attract forces that control the circumstances around the individual life. Dark thoughts attract dark forces and bright thoughts attract good forces. Thus the real battle in life is to choose both the right actions and the right thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. Both actions and thoughts have a cause and effect in this life and in the next life. The spiritual forces of God cannot help us by replacing our need to take responsibility and do the best we can in our circumstances. People who think that they do not have to do anything but rely on God and angelic help alone do not receive the help they need from the spirit world. They expect all the work to be done for them. Angels distance themselves from such individuals until they realize that they are responsible to exercise their free will and put in the best effort they can before help is given from the spirit world. It is when an individual has done the best he knows how with the little strength and knowledge that God has provided that angelic help is given to help them further. The Holy Spirit was sent as our helper and not as our servant, John 14:16. Angels are sent to minister to us when we have used our best efforts with a pure heart of reliance on God, Mark 1:13, Luke 22:43. Man must keep exercising the force of his free will to do God's will even when he has a destiny to fulfill. The forward motion of the planet Earth causes a centrifugal force and the gravitational pull of the sun causes a centripetal force. Both these forces work in harmony to produce a stable orbit of the Earth around the Sun. The free will of man exercises a centrifugal force while predestination exercises a centripetal force over our human life. If there is no centrifugal force, the Earth will crash into the Sun. Similarly, if man does not exercise his free will, predestination is of no benefit to his life. If there is no centripetal force, the Earth would be thrown into the darkness of space. Similarly, without walking in the path of his predestination, a man's life would be thrown into darkness. Foresight and precognition. The spiritual world is able to see the end result of every action and thought. The lowest sphere of light is able to see less into the future than those of the higher spheres. Ultimately, only God, who is above all, sees all and knows all things past, present and future. Spirits of the higher spheres can see some of the possible culmination of actions and thoughts upon the earth and are directed by God to guide and influence the world towards the right path without violating the free will of man. Angels and spirits serving God are directed in advance through the foreknowledge of God into positions and places ready for the occurrence of the event months or years before they occur to direct the human lives towards their destinies against adversity and unfavorable circumstances. Sometimes these events are revealed to humans on earth through visions, dreams or a revelation in their spirits. Pre-existence of our spirits. In Ephesians 1-4, Paul speaks about God choosing us before the foundation of the world. There are two possible extreme interpretations without contradicting the Bible: that we existed in the mind of God before we were created at conception via the union of sperm and ovum, or that we had some sort of conscious existence before our earthly existence. There could be other explanations in between these two by differing the timing of our creation. Psalms 139:6 implies that we had some form of substance before we had an earthly form. God told Jeremiah that before he was formed in the womb that he knew him, Jeremiah 1-5. Traditional understanding has always given us the idea that we were created at conception, but scriptures seem to point to a type of pre-existence before we were formed in the womb. The quality or type of existence that we have before our formation in the womb is open for theological discussion, without contradicting the Bible. It would not be wrong if one were to interpret it as a full-fledged existence as spirits in the spiritual universe of God. For those who do accept the pre-existence of our spirits before coming to this earth, there are interesting lines of thoughts to pursue. One of which is that before coming to this earth we had some knowledge or choice in coming to this earth, being made aware of our mission and tasks for this earth. God would, of course, first reveal to us His perfect will, destiny and plan for our lives, Ephesians 1-4, Romans 8:29-30. We would then have free choice within the realm of His destiny in mapping out the personal choices and routes that we would like to take under the guidance of God and His angels. There is a twofold goal. One is to take on the challenge of living this life with all its trials and challenges to further our spiritual growth in the spiritual universe of God, and secondly, to take on a mission or task to help fulfill the will of God for the people we encounter, making a positive contribution to mankind and society. In coming to this earth, all knowledge of our pre-existence was taken away except for some events that we had foreseen that will take place and bring a sense of recognition, déjà vu, like we have been there before. This is not the only cause of déjà vu, there are many other causes. For example, the picking up of another spirit or person's thoughts from a different time or dimension, etc. These precognition events are locked in our spirits and come to the surface of consciousness when the events occur, like milestone markers telling us that we are on track. No matter how tough times seem to be or how hard the road, we need to remember that we have chosen the road to travel for our own spiritual growth. And God has provided sufficient strength and grace for every mountain that confronts us, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Do not envy others who seem to have it easy in life. They might have chosen an easier road with less spiritual growth benefits than you. Also remember that God has guided you in your choice and will never allow or permit you to choose that which He knows you are not capable to perform. If you search on the inside of your spirit, you will always find the grace and strength that God gives you to overcome every mountain. The reason that you do not seem to receive help is because there is too much noise on your inside, in your soul. Meditate and be still on your inside. Let the peace of God fill you and you will receive clearly in your spirit, not necessarily in words or thoughts, the strength and grace to proceed further. The flow of thoughts. I was given to understand that our thoughts are influenced by the spiritual world all the time. They are either being influenced by the forces of darkness or by the forces of light. This is the spiritual warfare that Paul speaks about, 2 Corinthians 10-4-5. When we have inspirational thoughts that lift us up, we owe the credit to God and His ministering spirits who impart the spiritual energy into our lives. On the other hand, when negative and evil thoughts crowd our minds, we have got into the wrong flow of thoughts. We need to learn to yield to the flow of thoughts. We need to learn to yield to the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Thoughts are received and processed in our souls and not in our physical brain. Our brain is only the control center of the physical realm through which our soul expresses itself. People who are brain dead, no brain electrical activity, and are brought back to life can sometimes remember all the activities at the time of their clinical death when their spirits and souls are OB, out of body, watching the particular activities around them. Since there is no physical brain activity, it shows that memories are stored in the unseen realm of the soul. The soul in turn is only the receiving and processing center for thoughts, in the same manner as the physical eye is the receiving and processing center for physical light. Our understanding is sometimes likened to eyes because of this reason. For example, the eyes of our understanding, Ephesians 1:17-18. The source of all thoughts is in the realm of the spirit world, which our spirits are in contact with. There is a divine flow of wisdom energy that flows from God and is transmitted to us through the Holy Spirit and ministering spirits. This flow is not in a known human language which our soul has acquired, but the essence of thought, which is like a spiritual light. The spirit of wisdom and revelation produces light in the understanding. Ephesians 1:17, 18.